It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Danielle Venton.
Turn right onto Pittsburgh Road.
This morning, we're going on a road trip to Grass Valley. Our health correspondent, April Demboski, went there before the coronavirus hit to see how assisted living facilities for the elderly are preparing for wildfire season. A KQED investigation has found that across California, 37% of these facilities are located in areas at heightened risk for wildfire. In Nevada County, 100% are at risk. April tells us a new law aimed at helping these facilities prepare for disaster is falling short.
Continue on California 49 South for 9 miles.
Randy Dinning spends most of his work week in his black Honda Fit. He's a long-term care ombudsman for the State Department of Aging, which means he drops in at residential facilities for the elderly to check on the quality of the food or the care. But on this shift, for the first time, he's asking about disaster preparedness.
Alrighty, off we go.
First stop of the day is Sierra View Manor.
This is assisted living.
As opposed to skilled nursing, which is overseen by the State Department of Public Health.
Assisted living is non-medical.
It's overseen by the State Department of Social Services. So overall, the rules here are weaker. But Randy isn't the enforcer. As an ombudsman, he's more the tattletale to the enforcers. Straight away, he has to talk to the boss.
If the boss lady is around.
Hi. Administrator Vanessa Lely Tenney's comes out, and as Randy tries to ease into questions about disaster planning, she interrupts to say, "We are the best."
Well, I'm going to brag right from the beginning.
And she begins listing the virtues of her generator.
We'll cover the entire building. So
and their evacuation plan.
Here within 7 minutes.
And the go bags they prep for each resident.
Do you guys do drills and stuff
like
that?
Yeah. We do those. Here? We do evacuation drills.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Darn.
I have.
How often?
Probably every quarter.
Every quarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the conversation gets awkward when Vanessa reveals they only have one employee on staff overnight, caring for 46 residents. If wildfire strikes, she says the folks at the skilled nursing facility next door will take them in.
But they're not going to have 46 beds over there.
No.
She says maybe they'd take them to the local high school.
But we're never going to have one of those kinds of emergencies. I insist.
But that's exactly what happened nearly 3 years ago in Santa Rosa when wildfire swept through in the middle of the night. Two assisted living facilities had only a handful of staff, and they left about 100 elderly residents behind for relatives and police to rescue. One facility burned down, as did 8 others across the state that year.
That was a real eye-opener for us that staff weren't trained.
Pam Dickfoss is the enforcer. She oversees licensing for assisted living facilities for the Department of Social Services. She says the new law that took effect last year was a direct response to what happened in Santa Rosa.
These fires identified the need for the entire area to be evacuated.
Instead of being prepared to escape a kitchen fire, as the older law outlined, facilities now need to have options of where they'll go.
Two shelter locations for
how they're going
to
get there.
Plan for transportation.
And who will be responsible for what.
This bill really strengthened the requirements in an emergency plan.
But state data indicates the department is reluctant to enforce them. In 2018, state inspectors cited just 62 facilities for having an insufficient disaster plan. Last year, when the law took effect, they cited 239. But that's still just 3% out of nearly 7,600 facilities across the state. Dickfoss says inspectors see themselves more as consultants rather than disciplinarians.
It's really a collaborative effort across the state between the providers, between the advocates, and the department.
But that's not how some advocates for the elderly see the department.
It's a provider protection agency, not a consumer protection agency.
Chris Murphy runs an advocacy group dedicated to assisted living reform. She and her colleagues have been asking regulators for better evacuation plans and training for a decade.
They will rarely come down on the side of the consumer.
She says the new law was written by the assisted living industry and doesn't do nearly enough to protect residents. For example, it requires portable evacuation chairs at the top of every stairwell. But facilities are still required to have just one employee on duty overnight for every 100 residents.
I don't care how many little evacuation chairs you have. If you have one person trying to do that, nobody's getting out.
Murphy says the law also fails to acknowledge how complex residents' health status has gotten. 2 decades ago, assisted living was meant for people who needed a little bit of help. Now, more and more are bedridden or have dementia. At the Cascades of Grass Valley Assisted Living Facility, 90% of the residents have some form of dementia.
Hi, Miss Betty.
Hi.
Hi, Cleta.
Administrator Pepsi Pittman rests her hand on the shoulder of a resident sitting by herself at the kitchen table.
All right, are you ready for lunch?
For lunch? I thought I was here for breakfast.
Research shows that people with dementia are more likely to die after a disaster. But the new law is silent on how to prepare this population. Fire drills aren't really an option. Loud sounds and changes in routine put people with dementia at risk for wandering off.
We don't want to overstimulate them. We don't want to make them anxious.
For advice on this, Pepsi confers with other facilities in town, like Atria Assisted Living down the road. When a brush fire broke out next to Atria's building last fall and they had to evacuate 110 people, staff told the dementia residents they were going on a field trip.
You act like it's just another day and we're going for a bus ride.
Regional Vice President Andrew Levine says they took everyone to the Crown Plaza Hotel in Sacramento. There, teams got to work making the rooms safe for people with dementia.
We go in, we take out all the coffee machines, we take out the iron, the soaps.
Why the soaps?
Because we don't want them to eat it. You know, we take out everything that potentially could be harmful.
Beyond safety, staff went about recreating life at Atria at the hotel. Games, karaoke, dancing.
It was a little mini vacation. It was fun.
I think I won 3 bingo games.
Betty Johnson and Bud Paul are both 94.
So we had a nice evening. And
3 days later, when they came back to Grass Valley, staff were in the driveway shaking pom-poms and pouring champagne.
They were greeting us, all lined up, welcome home, and you really felt it.
But all these efforts were possible because Atria has a corporate office that can mobilize teams of people. Most facilities are smaller and can't afford that. And together, the industry lobbies to keep these kinds of best practices as recommendations rather than law. I'm April Demboski, KQED News.
And I'm Danielle Venton. I'm joined now by April to talk more about her reporting. And for listeners who are out there expecting a traffic report right now, we're going to go a bit longer than usual with this segment. Now, April, you started working on this project last year with our colleagues Molly Peterson and Lisa Pickoff-White. A lot has changed since then. The coronavirus pandemic is hitting facilities for the elderly particularly hard.
Right. They have so much more to worry about right now. If you rescue an elderly resident from a wildfire, how do you then make sure they don't later die from COVID-19? So there are some things that facilities are thinking about doing, but you might also have to triage in a disaster situation like that. I talked to Kim Blix, the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Nevada County Public Health. Here's how she put it.
If you're evacuating due to wildfire, that's the priority. Sure, if PPE is readily available, great. But as soon as it slows down the evacuation, we have to prioritize in a situation like that.
Wow, that makes sense, but that's also really alarming. April, your story explained this new law that lays out all these requirements for wildfire evacuations. Has that been updated for this pandemic?
No, there's been no changes to the law. There's no binding requirements around this. The state is only offering guidance here. So, for example, they're recommending keeping people isolated during an evacuation. So instead of taking people to the Red Cross tent at the local fairgrounds, they say facilities should take people to hotels where they can stay in individual rooms. So Pepsi Pittman, the administrator that we heard from in the story, she started making some calls to try to arrange this in advance. But the hotels that she called couldn't do it because they were already full of people, people who are sick with COVID, nurses who are treating COVID patients, people who lost their housing during the lockdown.
One of the things that was really striking from your story is that assisted living facilities are only required to have one staff person on duty overnight. We've heard a lot about these employees themselves getting sick with COVID. How does this fit in with wildfire planning?
One of the reasons the state is lax about staffing requirements is because it's really hard to hire and keep employees at assisted living facilities. They're low paid, about $12 or $15 an hour, and so they move around quite a bit. If another facility offers them a 25-cent raise, they go. And with the pandemic, there's even more staff shortages because employees may have to quarantine for 2 weeks or they may be afraid to come to work at all. So how do you plan for a wildfire in that situation when your staff is constantly changing? How do you make sure everyone knows what to do? Facilities are supposed to do drills. That's one thing the law changed, is that they're supposed to do them more frequently. But the thing is, nobody's checking right now. The state stopped doing inspections back in March.
So April, this is really scary. This is really concerning. If I have a family member who lives in a facility like this, what can I do?
Stay involved. Visit the facility, visit your loved one, ask to see their emergency plan and look at it. Is it well thought out? Do they have enough buses for everyone? Do they have a place to go out of town if needed? Or is their plan to take everyone to the Best Western down the road, which itself might have to be evacuated? So you have to be the inspector.
April, thank you very much for explaining this to us.
Thanks, Danielle.
Tomorrow, we investigate how regulators fail the elderly. You're listening to Morning Edition on KQED.